Our scripture reading today is a long passage. The story of Zechariah and Elizabeth and the birth of John in the first chapter of Luke. So rather than just reading it, I'm going to tell it. And then we're going to hear Zechariah's song. And then I'll do a little bit more of a meditation before we receive communion. So this is the story of Elizabeth and Zechariah. Zechariah was a priest, and Elizabeth was from a family of priests. Both of them, Luke says, were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. To use Paul's language, they were Hebrews of the Hebrews. They followed all the traditions, observed all the rituals. They were Orthodox, strictly observant Jews in every way possible, and they had been all their lives. But they were old, with no children, no son to carry on the name, no son to follow Zechariah and be a priest. It must have been the one big grief of their lives. They had expected to have a child when they first married. They had hoped and prayed for a child, but year after year, nothing happened. And by the time we learn of them, they were used to it. They had accepted it. They were old and set in their ways, used to the routines and traditions of their life, not expecting any changes. There was Sabbath every week. There were religious festivals and the high holy days. And when there were those times when Zechariah's section of priests were on duty in the temple. And this time, by lot, he was the one chosen for the most important duty, which was to go into the Holy of Holies and light incense while the congregation outside prayed. So, of course, he was reverent and prayerful, doing his duties carefully, observing the traditions, carrying out the ritual. But he wasn't expecting anything to happen, nothing out of the ordinary. But suddenly there was an angel right there at the altar. And of course he was terrified. In case you hadn't noticed, in the scriptures, angels are not sweet little cupids. They are big, they are bright, and they are terrifying. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth will have a son. You will name him John," which means God is gracious. "And he will be great in God's eyes and will be a messenger like Elijah to turn the people back to God and prepare them for what God is getting ready to do." But Zechariah was stuck in disbelief. A son? Really? In case you hadn't noticed, we are old. How could I possibly be sure of this? And the angel's response, I think, is indignation. "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and bring you this good news. And you dare to not believe my words, which will be fulfilled, but you will say nothing. No word will come out of your mouth for the next 9 months until it is fulfilled." And Zechariah was left to stumble out of the Holy of Holies to the congregation, who were all kind of thinking, how long did it take him to light the incense? And when he comes out and he can't say a word, they realize something actually happened in there this time. But Zechariah can't tell them what. So he went home, and Elizabeth got pregnant. Their settled, orderly lives were totally disrupted. Zechariah couldn't speak, and Elizabeth's body was suddenly changing. The predictable future they thought was coming was suddenly turned upside down. A baby was coming into their home. Nothing in their lives would ever be the same again. And when the baby was born and the neighbors and relatives all tried to name him Zechariah, a good traditional choice, Elizabeth and John said, no, this baby isn't going to be just one more in the line. This baby's not going to be more of the same. His name is going to be John. God is gracious. This baby is bringing something new, not just for us, but for all of Israel. And old Zechariah didn't just start talking, he started prophesying, proclaiming that God's salvation was getting ready to break in, that God was going to keep God's promises, that God was finally going to do what the prophets had talked about all these years, and that their child was going to be the one to prepare the way. Dawn of a new day. Light for those stuck in darkness, light for those living in the shadow of death, light to show us the way of peace. As we responded to Reggie's question, so often when we think of peace, we think of calm, quiet, serenity, harmony, and peace is all those things. But God's peace, God's shalom, doesn't always come looking quite like that. God may need to disrupt our lives for peace to come, as God did with Zechariah and Elizabeth. God may need to shatter some of our assumptions, to break through our passivity, to challenge the ways we have settled for what is, and stopped really hoping, believing we can hope for what should be. We know what's wrong with the world so much. So much under the shadow of death. We know so much that could be better, so much that should be better, and yet so much seems to be stuck in old, broken, harmful patterns. Gun violence, school shootings, so common that we stop really being shocked. Racial injustice, inequity baked into the systems. Hunger, poverty, homelessness, so common, we at some level we accept it, don't we? Wars and rumors of wars, proxy wars in faraway places, not close enough to really upset our lives. That's part of the problem with drones, isn't it? It makes it so much easier. The inbreaking of God calls us to get out of our ruts, to dare to pray, to dare to believe that God can do new things, that a new day can actually come in spite of all that is around us. But I think we have to start with being willing and ready to have our own lives disrupted by the coming of God. God's peace isn't just the absence of war or conflict. As the protesters chanted in the streets, no justice, no peace. They are right. God's peace is justice and fairness for all people. And that means changes need to happen. Systems will have to be broken down and reworked, transformed, the status quo turned upside down. God's peace means the breaking in of God's great shalom, which is wholeness and healing and restoration for all people. All living things, all of creation, all of us being brought together in the light and love of God. God's peace is the coming of God to be one with us, holding us all together in one great community. And that never can happen in the ways we would expect or predict. And so I think in this season, in the midst of the traditions we love so much, as we hang our decorations and eat our special foods and enjoy all those rituals that fill us with nostalgia and delight, we are also called to remember that Advent and Christmas are about so much more than these. Any of these traditions, any of these rituals might be the place, the time, the moment, the thing that causes God to come to us. Gabriel might show up suddenly here in this space. Who knows? But we can't get too attached to any of that, to the spaces, the traditions, the rituals, because if we're not careful, they may be what might keep us from seeing and hearing what we need to see and hear. God's peace demands a world more just and fair. God's love calls us to go beyond the barriers that separate us from one another. God's coming calls us to be ready, to be willing for our lives to get disrupted, for our lives to get turned upside down if need be, for the coming of our God.